News Talk 1450 KFIZ. Welcome back in on a Wednesday morning. It's time for one of our twice monthly segments with CSI of Fond du Lac County. We're calling this segment, as we start the new year, Health and Wellness Wednesday. And CSI will be part of that, along with a lot of other folks working in our community to improve the health and well-being of residents of Fond du Lac County. And we're joined to start the new year by Dr. Matt Dahl, who is the Director of Behavioral Health at Agnesian SSM Health. He's also the Secretary and Executive Committee member with CSI of Fond du Lac County. And Matt is kind enough to join us for a few minutes here this morning to talk about CSI. We're going to talk about a few different topics here on a Wednesday. Matt, good morning. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. Kind of talking about starting a new year and recapping 2020 and looking ahead to the possibilities, and I guess that kind of hope that comes with the new year. And of course, we know that 2020 was a challenging year for pretty much everybody out there, whether it be the pandemic or job loss or whatever it may be. So many different things thrown at us in 2020. And Matt, I'm sure you'd agree, as people start the new year, they feel refreshed, or at least they want to, and they see that hope on the horizon with the calendar changing from 2020 to 2021. But still, we're seeing obviously the pandemic continuing into this new year. You add in the events from last week in Washington, and all this kind of like anger and tension leading up to the inauguration coming up, and even probably beyond that as we begin the new year here in 2021. There's still a ton being thrown at us. So I think our conversation today, we're going to talk kind of about what we're seeing, how we handle it as people, and kind of explain how we focus and refocus on what really matters most here in 2021, and look for some positivity in all the storm here. First, from your perspective and the work you're doing with Agnesian SSM Health and with CSI too, kind of break it down for us. I know you were talking to me off the air about this example of our brains and how that's kind of impacting what we're talking about right now, what we're seeing right now in the news. Break it down for us and kind of explain it from your perspective, if you could.
Well, sure. A good example would be to fold your thumb inside your palm and then wrap your four fingers over the top, kind of making a fist. And what you have now is an example of our brains. Those four fingers, that top part of our brain, is our thinking brain. You know, it helps us decide what to focus on. It helps us think through problems creatively. It is really our kind of more advanced brain. And then if you lift up your four fingers again, you'll see the thumb folded inside. That's our what's called our limbic system, but essentially that's our oldest part of our brain. That's our fight and flight, our alarm, our emotional side of our brain. And together, those brains, when they're working well, both sense danger or sense risk or sense other kinds of emotional feelings. But the top part helps us make some decisions about what to do and how to respond to those. Right now, just because we've been through a pandemic, we are going through a great deal of social change. And depending on, you know, what information we consume, we're anxious. We're overwhelmed. We don't know what's coming next. And so you can imagine our four fingers sticking straight up. And most of us are walking around with that limbic system just sitting out there for every response that it gets. And it's exhausting. Because we don't feel like we can recover, and we're always sensing danger. And we're not necessarily always perceiving things accurately or thinking through things, because that top part of our brain isn't really as engaged as it used to be, because we haven't really had a chance to recover. And it's recovery that allows our brain to stop, to think, to consume information, to challenge thoughts and feelings we might have, to reality test to see something is true or not. And it really is that state that we feel at greatest ability to rest, relax, enjoy, laugh, and be able to actually think critically about things.
So where do we even begin to start this recovery process that you speak of?
Well, I think, you know, one is just to normalize it. Look, you know, we really are tribal people. I mean, you know, there's lots of sociology research that says, you know, despite how many people we have on Facebook, we're able to track maybe about 100 relationships, you know, in an intimate, close way. And those intimate relationships are oftentimes where we get our recovery. But those have been strained due to COVID and having to socially distance, and some of our rituals and ways of connecting have changed. And so that's one aspect of social engagement. The other, you know, is really recognizing that, you know, we have a playoff coming. And if you're a Packer fan, you know, the Rams, you know, they've got some tough stuff coming at us, right? First in defense in lots of areas. And so our brains already are wired, if you're a Packer fan, is to see those others as others. And actually the pleasure part of our brain will light up if one of their guys gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Something that we wouldn't really want to have happen happens just because of how we're designed. And there's lots of other research examples. There was a classic prison experiment, you know, randomly assigned one group of people to be the prisoners and the other ones to be the guards. And they had to stop the experiment because people were so into their role, even though it was just pretend, they treated each other poorly. Mm-hmm. And it is that. It's the red shirt, the blue shirt. It's the, you know, green and the gold versus the white and yellow. And so we have to recognize that our brains are designed to do this. It's that top part of our brain that gives us a chance to stop and think. That's my neighbor. That's my friend. That's my family member. Those are relationships that I value. And also to recognize that the information we consume can really throw those four fingers up into the air. And I'm not hearing with my thinking brain. I'm hearing with my fear brain. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to help solve problems. I'm just going to see the world as black and white. I'm not going to be able to think problems through, and I'm not going to be able to recover, you know? And so recognizing that it's a natural and normal thing, it's been shown to be consistent across everybody, it's that part of our brains that, you know, we need to change. And then, you know, in terms of the racial aspect of things, you know, I work at the Trefford Academy, great staff, wonderful kids. They don't see the differences. You actually have to teach people to be racist. You have to teach them to think of others as others. And it comes from that, you know, treating others as objects, as less than. And once we start doing that, that's when humanity has really faltered and we've done horrific things in the name of, quote unquote, our team.
There's a huge communication aspect to this, too, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, you talk about red versus blue. You talk about green and yellow versus white and blue with the Rams and stuff like that. If people are only hearing one side of things and using that kind of the limbic system, the lizard brain, and not really listening and not really taking into account what other people believe and you know, having those rational discussions, it automatically becomes, well, I'm right and you're wrong, just because you don't believe that this person did this and that person's evil or whatever. It's this whole kind of you know, vicious cycle, right? Where it's you know, it's tough if you kind of put that perspective, those kind of preconceived notions and those red versus blue, white versus black, whatever it is, into practice daily. You're setting yourself up for failure. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's an excellent point, you know, because we do tend to listen to things that confirm our existing beliefs. And so it's very hard for us to tolerate listening to something that doesn't fit our existing worldview, you know. And there's a Miller's rule or Miller's law, you know, different from Murphy's, which is how things feel these days, everything going wrong that can. But it is the case that Miller's rule says if you're going to truly listen, when you're listening to the other person, you have to assume what they're saying is true. The question is, what is it true of? In asking and trying to understand another's perspective and truly listening and trying to understand what is true about their truth, what they're saying, is helpful because you get a better and deeper understanding. If you think about challenging ourselves and to listen to other people, it's how we look for common information. And so there's research that shows that if we are given the same information, 80% of us will agree. Mm-hmm. The problem is we don't listen to the same information, you know, and the information we often get isn't necessarily independent. It is dependent on someone trying to sell us something, sway us, you know, or we're self-selecting, right? We're watching those things that confirm our beliefs, and that's how we kind of radicalize ourselves, you know? And so really and truly that relationship, those social connections, the ability to try to think critically and to be compassionate and listen. You know, we've got a great community, and we've done a lot of amazing things when we work together. We just have to understand that under this level of stress and this sustained level of stress, some of the kind of defaults of humanity are emerging, and we need to try to put our four fingers down. We need to stop and think. We need to try to recover and really listen and care about each other. We're a largely spiritual community, and it doesn't seem like that's guiding us very often. You know, we really have to think about love and caring about each other and thinking about how to recover as a community, and that's for everybody. You know, when we start sorting and we start, you know, one of my favorite books is The Sneetches, right? Mm-hmm. Start looking at each other as having stars on our belly or not having stars on our belly. You know, we're heading in the wrong direction there.
Is it as simple as maybe when you talk about the information you consume, is it as simple as trying to seek out the opposing side and trying to learn the opposing side? So say, for an example, you watch Fox News, maybe turn on MSNBC. Is that a step you'd recommend people taking? Is it as simple as that, or is it kind of a broader picture kind of thing?
No, I think that's a good exercise. I think, you know, just like, you know, those of us that are passionate about watching the game, though, you end up yelling at the TV. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily listening, right? you know, if there's a way of consuming information that you feel is a little bit less, you know, more in the middle to the other two extremes, right? You know, because, again, 80% of us kind of fall in that middle. It's the two tens on either side, and that obviously drives the news cycle. It drives everything that, you know, the economics of information, and you guys do a great job of presenting information, I think, that's really helpful to people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, listening more, paying attention, and really do challenge yourself. I do that. I do it on purpose because I want to try to understand where's that coming from. You know, I don't get the conspiracies that have been presented, but I try to understand why. I mean, there is literally a percentage of people believe the Earth is flat. Mm-hmm. And I find that fascinating because, you know, as a consumer of information, a scientist, and a critical thinker, I really want to try to understand, how did you get there? Mm-hmm. How did that happen? And if you're one of those people, that would be a good question to ask yourself. How do I get to where I think about these things? And mm-hmm. and what am I doing to continue to do that? And am I really kind of consuming a diet that maybe offers me a better chance to look at things a little bit more critically, to stop, to think? And the other one I would say is, you know, if something's making me angry, I try to understand why. What's the trigger? What's that going on? You know, I find that if I'm at peace, if I'm feeling more accepting and loving, then my brain is a little bit more open to things. And if I'm, you know, if I'm a good consumer of information, I also have to be the information that my body and my brain are telling me and kind of self-reflect. You know, if I have biases, if I have some judgment about somebody because of how they look or act in a certain way, or maybe they've made choices that I wouldn't agree with, why do I do that? Why? You know, mm-hmm. I'm certainly live in a glass house. I shouldn't be throwing stones. What's going on?
Right. Matt, as we close here, this conversation obviously could go a lot longer and go a lot deeper than kind of what we talked about here today. But when we talk about these different things, I know this is all part of the work that CSI is doing in Fond du Lac County. And for folks that want to learn more, are there resources out there about what we talked about today? And give us kind of the lowdown on CSI and what the work you're doing here in the county, if you could.
Absolutely. So CSI is Community Service Integration, and it's countywide, but it's made up of volunteer groups, you know, so Sprout, those are the folks that are passionate at birth to 6 years of age, early childhood, you know, drug-free. You know, we have folks that are interested in safe schools and safe community, and we have mental health access. We also have physical health. You know, because all of these aspects of health affect our community. We have a healthy community. We're economically strong. We are going to have employable adults. We're going to have successful schools. We are going to continue to grow. And we have great businesses, and we have great, agencies, and we have a wonderful communication process through CSI where each of the county people, law enforcement, the school systems, the, you know, social service agencies, business, we get together and talk about how do we make a healthier community. Soon we'll be rolling out the results of our community health assessment, and we'll identify things we need to work on as a community for our overall population health. COVID's taught us that a lot of our population and people have disparities in health. They don't have access, and they have historical things within themselves that, you know, in their communities that make the virus act differently. And so we can address and solve any of these problems to all of our benefit. And CSI kind of gives us that opportunity to talk, to listen, to think of things that we can do together to address some of these issues that we need to. And really what we need to probably do more of is engage the business community, because it's through this collective action and collective impact that communities have really shown a return on investment. Businesses thrive. They have more stable employees, we all grow and benefit from that. So that's a pretty cool thing to have in our community and something we all should be proud of.
Absolutely.
CSIFDL.org.
There you go. That was my final question. Dr. Matt Dahl, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you very much.